Before the attacks of September 11th, the future held promise for millions of illegal immigrants in the U.S. Momentum was gathering behind a White House proposal to legalize Mexican workers. Some Democrats said the plan should go further and provide amnesty for other nationals as well. The terror attacks pushed all that off the table, or so it seemed. In recent months, policy analysts, politicians, and employee unions have again been calling for some sort of guest worker program. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
For advocates of legalization, the numbers say it all. Despite massive efforts to close off the southern border, the Immigration and Naturalization Service says the number of illegal immigrants in the U.S. doubled in the past decade. Researchers at Northeastern University found that half of all new jobs during that time were filled by immigrants. And Dan Griswold of the Cato Institute throws out another number. An average of one person a day dies trying to cross from Mexico to a job in the U.S.
These aren't bad people, and the people who hire them aren't bad people. They're just trying to improve their condition. They're responding to demand. I think it's a bad law. It's a law that's colliding with reality, and reality is winning.
The reality, Griswold says, is that the U.S. is creating ever more low-skilled jobs, even as the number of Americans willing to take them is shrinking, and the economic recession has done nothing to change this. Griswold says this disconnect guarantees that immigrants will come to fill the gap, and current law guarantees that they'll be illegal.
The problem with our immigration system is that it has channels for people to be reunited to their families. It has channels for people with high skills to come in through the H-1B program. But there is virtually no channel for low-skilled workers to come in, even temporarily.
39-year-old Percy came nearly 2 years ago from Peru for the same reason most of us do, he says, to escape grinding poverty. Percy overstayed his tourist visa and now works from 6 a.m. till 2 as a janitor, then from 5 to 10 at night at a grocery store. Every paycheck he sends as much as he can to his wife and three children in Lima. Percy says he has false work papers and so pays U.S. taxes, but otherwise tries to stay below the radar of any government official.
You live in fear that one day you're just going to be going to work or coming from work or at a bus stop and a police officer or an immigration agent will show up at your door or wherever you are and just take you, and take you away.
Citing this shadow underclass, many now frame immigration reform in terms of national security. Angela Kelly is the deputy director of the National Immigration Forum.
The last thing you want to do while fighting a war on terrorism within our borders is not know who's within our borders. And we have 8.5 million people that we don't know who they are. As long as they live in the shadows and they're afraid to come forward to tell us what they know or to be able to act in a way that's unaccountable, it's bad for everybody.
In his disheveled office at the Center for Immigration Studies, Mark Krikorian agrees a large shadow class is not good, but the way he sees it, legalizing even a part of that class would be worse. Krikorian says a 1986 amnesty was rife with fraud. Two men granted green cards later took part in the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center.
If we have another amnesty, I guarantee you, you have it on tape, I guarantee you that more terrorists will get green cards. And then who's to answer for that?
Krikorian's think tank supports reduced immigration overall, and he dismisses the notion that U.S. industries are addicted to cheap foreign labor.
They have developed in such a way as to take advantage of this flow of illegal aliens. But if the flow of illegal workers were significantly reduced, these industries would evolve just as Adam Smith would have told us they would evolve, which is to say they would compensate.
Krikorian envisions higher wages, better benefits, and mechanization. But that doesn't answer the problem of how to cut off the flow of immigrants from Mexico, something a decade of increasingly draconian border enforcement has failed to do. The biggest obstacle to any guest worker program may be political. After 9/11, loosening immigration rules became unpalatable, as White House spokesman Ari Fleischer acknowledged in a recent press briefing.
And like many things that happened with the attack on our country on September 11th, the president regrets that that is one of the consequences of it. It clearly has made the ability to change some of the immigration procedures that the president had sought to change harder to enact into law.
And yet, demographer Jeffrey Passell of the Urban Institute says there is an equal reluctance to force employers to weed out illegal workers.
There's still not widespread support for kind of a centralized database, a national ID card, if you will. In fact, I've been a little bit surprised that there haven't been some proposals of that nature post 9/11. So you're left with this official ambivalence.
Passell says ignoring the issue amounts to winking at the law, and that's exactly what policymakers and employers seem set to keep doing. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.